Dear brethren and sisters, this is by way of being a review of our studies during these past few months in the book of Zechariah. We have seen in that marvelous book the glorious pictures of the revelation of the Son of Man, which has reminded us so much, brethren and sisters, of the apocalypse in its glorious pictures of the kingdom to come and of the means that Yahweh uses whereby that picture is accomplished. So it is in Zechariah. We have seen this glorious vision of the sons of God in glory. We have seen and realized, brothers and sisters, the presentation of the joy that is set before us. And yet we have seen Israel once again having failed, being brought back from Babylon and given all the opportunities of that return afforded them, visible proof, manifestations of the divine hand in their redemption, and yet they failed, as we noticed the different books relative to Isaiah have shown us. We have seen also, brothers and sisters, the tremendous lessons that the book of Zechariah has afforded us. Lessons that are so graphic, brothers and sisters, reminds us of the book of Romans chapter 11, doesn't it? We are going there now, brothers and sisters. Romans chapter 11 and verses 15, 20 to 22. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead, that is for Israel? Verse 20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but upon thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. What a dreadful picture we are prevented, brothers and sisters, of the cast off, the profligate, the wasters in the day of the Son's manifestation. And now we come to the last address in the series, which takes in the last three chapters of the book. The three chapters which build up into one marvelous picture of that which is soon to transpire in the earth. We see in these chapters the full power of Armageddon, the purpose of Armageddon, the results of Armageddon, the destruction of the armies of the world, the disappearance of all political and social being and establishment in the world. We have seen the saving of Judah and Israel, and we have seen also the means whereby Yahweh will humble his people. We will see the great purging process of Judah in these three chapters, and in other chapters we've seen that of Israel. In their purging, we have seen, therefore, the establishment of Israel and the glories of the kingdom to be revealed. All this, brothers and sisters, is in the three chapters that we are now to consider. The opening statement in chapter 12 of this book demonstrates a tremendous truth of the ale of the heavens that is to bring all these things to pass. Chapter 12, verse 1, the burden of the word of Yahweh for Israel. Said Yahweh, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Here, brothers and sisters, is the greatness of El. He that hath created all things, and for thy pleasure it goes they are and were created. Yahweh describes here, brothers and sisters, his control of all his plans as a mathematician lays out these plans upon the paper. As a great architect, he studies these plans that he has made of his great abiding temple that will be, and the establishment of that age that is to come, which is described as the new heavens and the new earth. For he doth his will in all of creation. His will is supreme. This is the great plan of the ages that we are now to consider. It shows us, brothers and sisters, that the events pictured here are not just allowed to happen. There is a lot of misconception, even in the household, regarding this. They look at the nations around, they see the wars and commotions, and they say, oh dear, dear, what a terrible catastrophe. When is Yahweh going to bring peace? Brothers and sisters, Yahweh has brought this state of things to come to pass. No man, no nation goes to war unless Yahweh wills it or allows it. And so we see things in the Middle East today, we see things in Europe especially, building up to that great crescendo in which Russia will become the great Lord Ascendants of this great, almost universal kingdom that he will establish. When all the elements of Nebuchadnezzar's image will be drawn together, and in which it will stand upon its feet, a great terrifying image of powder, of power. But, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to the 102nd Psalm now. In the midst of all this comes the comfort for those who strive, for those who have a vision of the future, that the time of the coming is set. In Psalm 102, verse 13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. All this, in the next three chapters, brothers and sisters, is this Yahweh arising as a sun of an unclouded day upon his people of Israel. And that those beams that come forth from the sun, brothers and sisters, those beams are the name of Yahweh in the collective giant of years to come in the saints, revealed upon the redemption, or for the redemption of Zion. For the set time, the time to favor her, has come. Keep your finger in here now, brothers and sisters, and go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. And and verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. The new heavens and the new earth, brothers and sisters, are revealed in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, as the kingdom age, or the second heavens and earth. The first heavens is the Mosaic, the second is the kingdom, and the third is the great beyond, as it is revealed in Daniel chapter 12, and we have seen and know the verse very well by now, brothers and sisters. They that be wise shall shine as the stars of the firmament, for the Olam and the beyond. The Olam is the second Israelitish heavens and earth, and the third is the beyond, or timeless age, which is not revealed. For behold, I create the new heavens and the new earth. Brothers and sisters, this relates to what the book of Zechariah and the book of Zechariah reveals to us as the great plan and purpose of the uncreate. For the former heavens and earth, the Mosaic, shall not come into mind, that is, to desire it, like the children of Israel desire to go back into Egypt. For I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, verse 18, and her people a joy, and nevermore will the children of Israel be put to shame and to plunder and to despise, to reject and to punish as the nations have done them. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing. When Christ is sitting in his throne of glory, brothers and sisters, this will come to pass. No more weeping, verse 19, shall be heard in Jerusalem. No more the voice of crying, and the people shall be all righteous, as the other prophet says, in that glorious day. Notice in particular what is to be accomplished when that time arrives. The nations and the kingdoms are destroyed. Nevermore for 1,000 years will Satan, the serpent, the great serpent and the devil, rear its ugly head upon this earth. We can see this, and we have seen it, in Daniel, the 2nd chapter, and the 7th chapter in particular. Now, go back to the 102nd Psalm. Now, I want to quote a few verses without comment now, to see how this picture is building up in our minds. Verse 15 and 16. So the heathen, the nation, shall fear the name of Yahweh. This brings us to the time after Armageddon, when all nations will be righteous, keeping the law of Yahweh. The time is after the set time to deliver Zion. So the heathen shall fear the name of Yahweh, and all kings of the earth thy glory. When Yahweh shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Verse 18. Thus this shall be written for a generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise Yahweh. That's the Jews, by the way. Verse 21-22. To declare the name of Yahweh in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the people are gathered together, not this time against Jerusalem, as we shall see in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, but this time to praise the name of Yahweh in Jerusalem, to praise Yahweh in Jerusalem, in Zion. What a time this will be. All this is revealed, brothers and sisters, in the chapters we are about to consider. The new heavens and the new earth. Now, we hope that you have kept your finger in, or kept 102nd Psalm open, because we want to quote two further verses in it. Verse 25 to 28. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. All of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Notice the future tense, brothers and sisters, of these verses. It's not speaking of Yahweh, it's speaking of his Son, the Creator of the new heavens and the new earth. Look at it again. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. Keep a finger there. Go to the 1st chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 6. And when he bringeth again, the Greek of this verse, Brother Thomas's translation, when he bringeth again the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of Yahweh worship him. Contrasting Christ with the angels. But this is the bringing again of the Son of Man into the world. Not into the world as we know it now, brothers and sisters, because the world will not see Christ, at least until the millennium is really established. But then it says, verse 9, thou, the Son, hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore Yahweh, thy Elohim, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, and thou, Lord, the one that has been anointed, who has been brought back into the world, thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. This is the second Israelitish heavens and earth of the age to come, brothers and sisters. They shall perish, pass away as of no use. Of course they will. It's an interim period. But thou remainest. Christ and his saints will remain as the glorious immortals through the endless ages of eternity. As the vesture shalt thou, Christ, fold them up, and they shall be changed, which is the meaning really of the word perish in verse 11. It means to be changed or come to an end. As the vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail, which cannot possibly be spoken of Yahweh. Now in chapter 2 of Hebrews, in verse 5, but unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak, the world that we are discussing at the moment, Paul says. All this, friends and sisters, this glorious picture is going to be accomplished by the tremendous and terrible scourge of Armageddon. Will there be any of the adult generation left? We don't like this picture today, brothers and sisters of the household. We avoid it. We don't speak about it. Or at least the majority don't. But it is a fact, brothers and sisters, as Robert Roberts says, that it is of his opinion that when these judgments are in the earth, when the Armageddon takes place, it is a question mark whether any of the adult generation will be left. Now, there is a reason for him saying this, brothers and sisters, because if you go to the 20th of Ezekiel, 20th of Ezekiel and verse 35, speaking of Israel, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there will I judge you face to face, judge with you face to face. Like as I judged your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I judge you, saith Adonai Yahweh. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, numbering each one of them to righteousness or to wickedness. And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am Yahweh. The great purging of Israel when they come out through the wilderness means that nearly all the generation, the adult generation, will fail as the first generation coming out of Egypt did. And Brother Thomas remarks about this when he says, the adult generation will show themselves as wicked and perverse as the first generation that come out of Egypt. But the children, which will become more amenable to his law, shall enter into the land of Palestine. So the great purging process of Israel means that most of them will be destroyed. Now contrast this with the wickedness that is in the world. Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. Contrast our present day preaching, friends, sisters, with Christendom Astray. Read about Armageddon in Christendom Astray and see how far the household has fallen away from the basics. How came this change then? Well, it is remarkable really, but for a long time now, brethren have objected to Armageddon being spoken from the platform. Since 1957, in fact, this protest has come about, because we have assimilated the Gentile state of mind and the Gentile understanding of the gospel, which is not the understanding, of course, of the truth. The gospel is the good news of the kingdom of God, which will come about by Armageddon. The gospel of the nations, brothers and sisters, and unfortunately of some of the household, is that the blood of Christ is the gospel. It's not on its own. It became part of the gospel in the 8th chapter of Acts, but it is not the gospel itself. Now, In our closing chapters, brothers and sisters, we see the deliverance of Judah by the destruction of Gog, the humbling of all flesh upon the earth, the throne of Christ set up over all the earth, the Armageddon brought on the world by the forces of Israel. We have seen this, haven't we, brothers and sisters, in our past studies in Zechariah, when we have seen it, for instance, in Jeremiah 21, and we've seen it in the 9th chapter of Zechariah, 10th chapter of Zechariah, the goodly horse in the battle, and the battle axe and weapons of war, and we've traced these through the prophets, and we've seen that it is by Israel that Yahweh will conquer the world. It is only by, in the first place, when Israel is not prepared, of course, for to take on this role, that the saints destroy Russia. And once the kingdom is set up over Israel, over Judah, it is from that moment that Judah goes forth to conquer the world. And the officers of the Israeli host will be the immortalized saints, which will not, as we shall see in Zechariah 14, they will not appear to be immortals, but great captains of the Israeli forces, else the world's captains would never stand before them. But they do stand before them. And it is by this means then, brothers and sisters, that the whole earth will be humbled and the kingdoms destroyed. But to Israel it says, arise and shine. Arise as the sun. They become a corporate part in the sun's risings, which is the meaning of the word arise and shine. Blaze forth in the kingdom of their Father. Now, of their Redeemer. In Isaiah chapter 60, it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. Verse 13, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of thy feet glorious. Verse 9, surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first. British ships will be used to bring the sons of Israel from far. These ships, of course, are the merchant ships, the merchant navy, not the Royal Navy, which will be destroyed in the Mediterranean. Their silver and their gold with them, and to the name of Yahweh. Now, brothers and sisters, the name of Yahweh, thy mighty ones, is the name of Yahweh coming from far, Isaiah 30 verse 28, burning with his anger. And this name incorporates the giant of Daniel 10 and the great body of Christ blazing forth in glory unto the name of Yahweh thy Elohim and to the Holy One of Israel, because he now hath glorified thee. Verse 12 and 12 to 16 now. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Israel will be the head, not the tail, the chief nation upon the earth, because they will be the kingdom of God proper. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of thy feet glorious. Thy sons also, the sons also of them that afflicted thee, shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of Yahweh, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel, whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee. I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breasts of kings, and thou shalt know that I, Yahweh, even am thy Saviour and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob, even Christ. Here is the glorious picture, brothers and sisters, presented to us in these chapters. Of course, Russia comes down upon the land. They are brought down upon the land upon a hypocritical and wicked generation. Now Israel, therefore, will be as wicked, of course, as their forefathers were. We've just discussed this, haven't we? And when we come to Isaiah chapter 10, we see here a type of that which will come to pass. Now, it reads here, brothers and sisters, that the Assyrian is the rod of mine anger, saith Yahweh, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take a spoil, a prey, to tread them down like the mire of the street. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so. But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. But I will bring him against an hypocritical nation, saith Yahweh. Verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod should shake itself against them? So he brings them down, unknowing to them. Yahweh brings them down. But they are determined to come down. Now it's the same with Russia. In Daniel chapter 11 we read, he thinks, in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel rather, it says, he conceives, verse 10, a mischievous purpose. Suddenly, after he has conquered Egypt, he says, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. He doesn't mean to, but Yahweh brings him. He turns him round and put a hook of 6 teeth in his jaws and brings him forth that he might do this work upon Israel. So it is, of course, with Russia. He thinks he's acting according to the wicked devices of his own heart. But it is a divine hand that leads a wicked man on to a righteous purpose. And that purpose is revealed in the chapters we are considering. I will turn thee round and bring thee forth against an hypocritical nation. Isaiah 10 verse 6. Yet divine deliverance is revealed to Israel. And all nations will see and know from that great time and on that Yahweh is in Israel. Yes, it is the great power of El that is to be shown in the deliverance of Judah and Israel. Psalm 147 and verse 6, brothers and sisters, goes like this. And verse 1 to 6 of this psalm. Praise ye Yahweh, for it is good to sing praises unto our Elohim. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. Yahweh doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth them the number of the stars. Here's the power of El again. He calleth them all by their names, as a great creator. Great is our Yahweh, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Yahweh lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto Yahweh with thanksgiving. Read the second chapter of Joel, brothers and sisters, the remnant of Israel, in the day when the sun and the moon is darkened, and Israel has a terrible scourge put upon them to purify them, to make them meek, so that they can be accepted in the great day of Christ's appearing. Now, the Roman Catholic and her adherents is pictured, brothers and sisters, among this slaughter, because there's no doubt about it that the Roman Catholics and the Greek Catholics will give power, the religious power, to the Russians when he comes down upon the land. And so we have it in the 14th chapter now of Revelation, and in verse 8 to 11, there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, her whoredoms. Third angel followed saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast, every Roman Catholic worshipper in the earth now destroyed, and to receive his mark, the same, verse 10, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb community, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up even unto the aeons of the aeons, or the millennium. They have no rest day and night to worship the beast. Here is the introduction to this 14th chapter. It is the Roman Catholic power that is under consideration here. The chapter is divided up into sections that you can read for yourself. Verse 14 to 16, for instance, shows us the general harvest of the world. Verse 17, judgments on the Roman Catholics that has been planned in the heaven in Jerusalem. Verse 18 and 19 is carried out on Rome itself, which goes tumbling down into the abyss, screaming and crying out their blasphemy, says Brother Thomas. Verse 20, it's closed outside the city for the space of a period of time, whichever that period of 40 years, whether it's 40 days or 40 years, as Brother Thomas said. Now in Jeremiah 33, we have once again this picture of the terrible judgments upon the world. Judgments that we've got to keep before our minds, brothers and sisters, or we'll lose the truth. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 20 to 21, 25 and 26. 33, 20 to 21 first of all. Thus saith Yahweh, if he can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. 25, 26, thus saith Yahweh, if my covenant be not with day and night, if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob, and David my servant, so that I will not have any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause them to cause their captivity to return, and have compassion upon them. And here, brothers and sisters, in these chapters of Jeremiah, look at the 25th chapter, it introduces it. The redemption of Israel is by the destruction of the world. The result of this, of course, brothers and sisters, is that the world is terrified. They shall go, as Isaiah tells us, they shall go into the holes of the rocks to hide themselves from the wrath of the Lamb community when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. We need to remind ourselves of the works of Armageddon, brothers and sisters, because the picture is now lost. It is the time when Russia comes to his end and none to save him. Daniel 11, last verse. This is the beginning of the total destruction of the power of man. We need to study such books as the Revelation, Daniel, Zechariah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Haggai, Zephaniah, and Eureka, brothers and sisters, in particular, because Eureka will point the way to us understanding the truth as no other book ever has or will. If you would study the special Eureka indexes that we have prepared, you will be amazed at the horrific destructions which awaits this world and the Roman Catholic abominable woman. Now, verse 2 then of chapter 12 of Zechariah. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Here, brothers and sisters, we have once again, it proves to be the future siege of Russia and all her confederacies that comes down upon Jerusalem, blessed by the Roman Catholics and the Eastern Catholics. But then it says, the nations will drink from a cup that is held in the hand of Israel. Israel holds the cup. The nations will be forced to drink deep and long from it. And from that cup, brothers and sisters, will come the deliriums because it is wine mixed with myrrh. It is the dulling of their senses, the leading of them on to destruction, brothers and sisters, is held in this cup. This cup is now held by the Roman Catholics, who have intoxicated all nations and made them mad with this mixed wine of the doctrine of Rome. Here we have Israel holding this cup that will cause madness among the nations and spoiling. They will be intoxicated with the idea of spoiling and destroying Yahweh's people nationally once again. But look at verse 2 to 4 of this 12th chapter. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the peoples round about. When they shall be in the siege, this proves it to be the Russian siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. It'll make no difference. Jerusalem, they try to pick it up and to cast it into the sea, like Babylon is going to be taken up by the angel and cast into the deep, never to be seen again. The nations try and do this. They pick up the stone of Israel. They want to get rid of it. But they have the surprise of their lives, because instead of that will come the destruction of those who pick it up. The stone will prove to be a cutting stone, a sharp jewel of a stone, that when they pick it up, it will cut them to pieces. It will flay them. But in the process, and sisters, as we have said, go to the 14th chapter now, and verse 2, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity. But the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the people. This great earthquake, brothers and sisters, that will come in the deliverance of Israel upon the nations gathered together is in verse 5. And he shall flee to the mountains, the valley of the mountains, but the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Israel. Yea, he shall flee like as he fled from before the earthquake in the days of Isaiah. Verse 10, and all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and he shall be lifted up, Brother Sally said, and Brother Thomas, 1,800 feet, and inhabited in her place. 1,800 feet, what a terrible earthquake will take place when Yahweh begins to deliver his people. If Yahweh begins to bring judgment upon his people, brothers and sisters, in such a way and to such a degree as this, where will the nation stand? Let Jeremiah tell us. He speaks in another figure of a great whirlwind coming down. Ezekiel, let me see now, it's chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, not Ezekiel. Jeremiah chapter 25, and verse 28 to 33. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith Yahweh host, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I will begin to bring even on this city, which is called by my name, and should ye, the Gentiles, be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith Yahweh host. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, Yahweh shall roar from on high, shall utter his voice from his holy habitation, the great lion of the tribe of Judah. He shall mightily roar like a lion upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the world, the shout of victory. A noise shall come even to the end of the earth, the great earthquake. For Yahweh hath a controversy with the nations. He will judge all flesh. He will give them, the wicked nations, the goat nations, to the sword, saith Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh host, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. This evil is the Jew is going forth from nation to nation, conquering them. A great whirlwind shall be raised up from the course of the earth, and the slain of the Lord, the slain of Yahweh, shall be in that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be gathered nor mollified, that is, buried. Ezekiel 38, we know that chapter very well, brothers and sisters. We notice the terrible destruction that will come upon Yahweh's enemies. Let's go to the 38th chapter of Ezekiel for a moment to refresh our minds about this. We do in this, friends and sisters, in particular because there was no need to do it years ago, but now people have begun to forget, and the righteous shall scarcely be saved. So let us consider patiently these passages, brothers and sisters. Verse 17 to 23. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, the Lord's, I will be who I will be. Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Adonai Yahweh, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in my fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking, earthquake, in the land of Israel. The results of that earthquake is in verse 20 to 23. And I will magnify myself in the sight of all nations. I will be known in the eyes of all nations, he said. 39th chapter, verse 2 and 4. I will turn thee back, or turn thee around, and hook an instrument of six teeth in thy jaws, like the slaves of old, and cause thee to come from the north pass. I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. I will smite thy bow to thy left hand, cause thine arrows to fall at thy right hand. I shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, Israel, unto the beasts of the field to be devoured. I shall fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith Yahweh. Tremendous slaughter results, brothers and sisters, from this. And this is what we are looking at in Zechariah. Turn now to the 14th chapter, verse 3. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Verse 12 to 13 for brevity. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. It shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall begin to fight from Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about as a result will be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Israel will augment the slain and gather the great abundance of wealth that will be gathered there. And so shall be the plague of the horse and the mule, madness among the people, brothers and sisters, when they begin to drink of this cup. Yes, in verse 3 of our chapter, a burdensome stone indeed, that the nations under Gog will desire to destroy, desire to take it up and cast it into the sea, just like Babylon in Revelation, as we have said. Perhaps if we may have time, take up this theme in Revelation. I mean time in the future before the coming of Christ, brothers and sisters. We are not morbid in doing this, for it is the glory of the saints to destroy that monstrous system known as the Roman Catholic Church, much more monstrous than the power and might of Russia itself. But the stone is more than they can handle. They know not that Yahweh Elohim is there. It falls on them and crushes them and cuts them to pieces. This is the picture we've got in Daniel chapter 2. How can we read Daniel chapter 2 without realizing the tremendous destruction that will come on the nations? Have you noticed the great joy and triumph of the saints in this destruction, brothers and sisters? And yet it has to do with the devastation of the entire world. It says in Zechariah chapter 12 verse 4 that he will smite every horse with astonishment, with panic. He will smite every horse, and of course those that guide them, with panic. And this is explained in Zechariah 14 verse 12 to 13. If you come to pass, this shall be the plague with which I will smite the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away, and they shall lay hold every man on the hand of his brother to destroy them. Now then, going back again now then to Zechariah chapter 12, because this is the introduction, as it were, to what is to follow. Verse 5 to 7. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, in Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. Israel is made mighty at this time. This is stated deliberately here to show how the Jews would respond to and be affected by the revealing to them of their Messiah. Why do the governors, in verse 5, why do the governors of Judah say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength? It takes us back to AD 70, doesn't it? When the priests, the rulers, and the people, the false messiahs, fight each other and tear each other to pieces. Josephus' works tells us that more death and destruction was caused by the internal strife of the Judaizers and the false messiahs in Israel, in Jerusalem, than ever the Romans could do. They just had to stand back and behold it. But there is a recognition that some other force has taken charge here. For the rulers here, shall say in their heart, are the chieftains. And the revised version again, they cry, there is strength to me and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is a mysterious force that is now recognized by Israel and seen by the nations. They will then know that Yahweh is at work, and so will consider the poorest and meekest of the inhabitants suddenly to become the ferocious and brave Samsons of the age to come. We say they, brothers and sisters, is the people of Jerusalem. I didn't make that clear. This will be after the destruction of Gog, and so they will know who has delivered them. Chapter 12, verse 6. In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Israel will begin to take the war to the enemy. Remember, brothers and sisters, that it is they who bring Armageddon about, and the nations will see the destruction, realize in the end when it is too late, of course. 14th chapter of the 14th verse. And Judah also shall fight to Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. Now, brothers and sisters, we come to who are the people round about? They are, of course, we've already answered this question, haven't we? They are those who are left after the opposing forces are destroyed. Yes, brothers and sisters, Israel will augment the slain. The Arab nations will be taught a great lesson. The Arab nations by this time will have cast in their lot with Gog, and this is why they are punished, because it destroys the arrogant and saves the humble. In the book of Obadiah, for instance, And verse 1, first of all, to identify who this power is. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, concerning Edom, the Arabs, you see. We've heard a rumor from Yahweh, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise, E, and let us rise up against her in battle, they say. Why do they say this? Good verse 5. If thieves came to thee, saith Yahweh to Edom, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some grapes? Let me see. Yes, go on to verse 13. We'll have to. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought out? All the men of thy confederacy, Russia, have brought thee, the Arabs, to the border of Israel. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread in fellowship, Russians and Arabs together, have laid a wound unto thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, that's in Edom of course, shall I not in that day, saith Yahweh, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mouth of Esau? And thy mighty men or teamen shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Brothers and sisters, some brethren think that this is a prophecy of the past. It is not a prophecy of the past at all. It is a prophecy. Look at verse 21 before we go on. Look at verse 21. In verse 11 now, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day the strangers carried away captive his, Israel's forces, and foreigners, the foreign nations, entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. This is to come, brothers and sisters. This is what the Jews, the Arabs, take advantage of when Russia conquers them. Look at verse 18 and then 21. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Judah a flame. This has never happened in the past. And the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for Yahweh has spoken it. This is the time when they beat down the surrounding nations. Nothing to do with the past at all. And verse 21 has to do with the saints. And Saviour shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be Yahweh's. Now go to the 35th chapter of Ezekiel, brothers and sisters. Now this is a parallel chapter, and again we can quote the verses and interpret them. Let me see now. Verse 2. Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, Edom. Prophesy against it and say, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee. I will stretch out my hand against thee. I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am Yahweh, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred, and hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity. Same word as Obadiah. In the time of their iniquity had an end. Now this gives us the picture when this is to come to pass. Therefore, as I live, saith Adonai Yahweh, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee. Since thou hast hated blood, blood shall pursue thee. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and will cut off from it him that passeth out, and him that returneth. All trade will be cut off. And I will fill this mountain with his slain men. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with the sword. I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy city shall not return, and he shall know that I am Yahweh. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine. Yes, after the day when Russia casts Jerusalem and the land to the Arabs like a rotten bone to a dog, and we will possess it. Whereas Yahweh was there, and they knew it not. Therefore, as I live, saith Adonai Yahweh, I will even do according to thine anger, according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against me, against them, and I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee, and thou shalt know that I am Yahweh, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. With your mouth ye have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me, and I have heard them. I have heard. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it. And they shall know, in the judgment executed upon them in the very near future, that I am Yahweh. Brothers and sisters, what a picture. Now come back to the 12th chapter of Zechariah. In this, I hope you put a marker there, brothers and sisters. It will save you a lot of trouble. In verse 7 to 9 then, Yahweh also shall save the tents of Judah first, the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yahweh before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Side 2, brothers and sisters. Now, in the 9th chapter, in the 9th verse of this chapter, this Israel's in their mightiness is pictured here. Chapter 12 of Zechariah and verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. The word seek here is one used of Israel in seeking them in all the land to root them out of it. And so it is here that Yahweh, by Israel, seeks out very thoroughly the opposing forces to destroy them. He seeks out also all the multitude of Rome, and then proceeds to seek out the multitude of the wicked in the free world. None will escape this terrible earthquake, brothers and sisters. For as we read in verse 10 of this chapter, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Armageddon, brothers and sisters, will be a great humbling process for the world. It will be a humbling process for Israel as well, brothers and sisters, but not for the Roman Catholic power. Three beasts, according to Daniel, three beasts retain their territories as subject peoples in the millennium, but without their sovereignty. But Rome is forever destroyed, never to defile the face of the earth again. We will read to you the relevant passage in Daniel chapter 7. Verse 11. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, the great Roman Catholic horn. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, though, they had their dominions taken away. Their kingship was taken away, their rulership was taken away from them, and their lives were prolonged for that which is a season and that which is a time. Actually, it's one season and two times, which is 1,000 years, brothers and sisters. In verse 11 to 14 of the chapter under discussion, 12th chapter, in that day there shall be a great mourning when they are humbled, brothers and sisters, by realizing, we just read the story of Joseph, haven't we? It is the finest type in the Old Testament of the story of Christ when he reveals himself to his people. Look at the 24th Psalm. In that day, verse 12, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, the house of David apart, house of Nathan apart, house of Levi apart, house of Shimei apart, all the families that remain, every family apart. That is the extent of the mourning. Every family apart, verse 11. David's household, the kingship. Nathan, son of David, or is it the priesthood? The prophets. Levi, the common priesthood. Shimei, the grandson of Levi. All of them together in every aspect of the polity of Israel, mourning together now in one huge gathering, when they shall mourn for what they have done to the Son of God himself. Ye have killed the Prince of Life, and have desired a murderer to be granted to you. Now back to verse 7. Yahweh also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against them. He will save them all from Gog and from his forces. And then, brothers and sisters, save them from themselves, because when they shall mourn, when he marches into Jerusalem, and they look on him whom they have pierced, as the 12th chapter tells us, brothers and sisters, and recognize him, when they say in chapter 13, what are those wounds in thine hands? That he shall say to them, I am the Messiah that your fathers crucified, and he have supported their judgment. But in this 13th chapter, in that day, there shall be a great fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. What a wonderful day that will be, brethren and sisters. Judah is here used in its tribal sense. When they returned from Babylon, there were many of the 10 tribes among them. If you look at Nehemiah 4, 10, 16, chapter 6, and verse 17 and 18, you see, he cast them out of his eyes at first. He cast them out of his sight. He took no notice of them anymore, brothers and sisters. In that terrible chapter, in the first chapter of Isaiah that introduces his prophecy, of course, it is all to do with Israel's uncleanness. Look at what it says. Consider what is there, brothers and sisters, in relation to what we have just been reading. We read in Isaiah, our sinful nation, verse 4, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger, they have gone away backward. Why should he be stricken any more? He will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country, in the literal sense, is desolate and burned with fire. In the 8th chapter, verse 17, I will wait upon Yahweh, saith the prophet, that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him, but the children of Israel are out of his sight. But the time will come, brothers and sisters, when he will open his eyes upon the children of Israel. And Psalm 33 tells us this plainly. 33rd Psalm and verse 18. Behold, the eye of Yahweh is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his majesty or mercy. Chapter 34, verse 15. The eyes of Yahweh are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You know, in Joel chapter 2, we referred to that already. If you go back there for a moment, back to this reference, chapter 2 of Joel, and we shall see there the whole picture of what we've just been reading, brothers and sisters. Joel chapter 2, verse 20 to, let me see now, because time is going on, 20 to 21. I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for Yahweh will do great things. Verse 27 and 28. And he shall know that I am Yahweh in the midst of Israel, and that I am Yahweh your Elohim and none else. And my people shall never more be ashamed. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, that is Israel of course, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, I will pour out of my spirit. A wonderful grace being poured out upon them. Verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. Obadiah, last verse. As Yahweh hath said, spoken in many places. And among the remnant shall be those who call upon Yahweh. Every horse of the people will be made mad, none escaping. But in that day shall Israel find a glorious redemption. You know, this purpose revealed in the 12th chapter again, which is our introductory chapter, as we said, verse 10 and 11, I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall call upon me. The remnant nations will cry, but none will deliver them out of the hand of Yahweh's son. And so, in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 7 to 9, this is why we've taken all these chapters together. It shall be one day which shall be known to Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light, the splendid ones drawing in, saith Yahweh. It shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be, and Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day there's one Yahweh, and only one name of religion, Zephaniah chapter 3. Everyone now, what a picture we've got now, brothers and sisters. Armageddon swept out of the way. The glory of Yahweh seen among the nations. All the wicked nations poured into hell. All subservient, as we have seen in the 102nd Psalm. All the glory of Christ's kingdom, brothers and sisters, seen upon Israel and now upon the nations. Chapter 14, verse 16 to 21, of Zechariah, of course. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, of the ass, of the beast, that shall be in these tents as this plague. And shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, Yahweh hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And a righteous world, brothers and sisters, will result. The glory of Yahweh, the glory of Yahweh in Christ, shall blaze forth in the new world that is to come. It's a picture, brothers and sisters, that is largely lost today by the vast majority of those who should know better. The keepers of the truth are failing. It's a picture lost. How sad this is. But we must see this picture, brothers and sisters, because our future destiny is involved in it. We shall wash our feet in the blood of the wicked. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. I'm going back to the 58th Psalm now for a moment. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, that the saints will rejoice to see the destruction of the wicked. They shall destroy them willingly. Verse 3 to 11 of this psalm. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou hearest not, and thou seest not, Father. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labours. This is the wicked. Behold, he fasts for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. He shall not fast as he do this day, to make a voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of Yahweh? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that thou break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. And if thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, putting forth of the finger, the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise from obscurity, and the darkness shall be as the noonday. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And notice verse 10, brothers and sisters, if thou draw thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise from obscurity, from the darkness that is around. Friends, sisters, this is spoken first to Israel. And you might have wondered why we have quoted it, because it relates to Israel. Yes, but it is an eternal principle, brothers and sisters. We see this spoken to Israel. We see it spoken now to the saints. It's not rulership that we have. It's not a domineering attitude. It's a love expressed in the care of brothers and sisters, and in the love of Yahweh expressed in it. And the nations will be all righteous in that day as well. You know, back to basics, they cry out at the moment. Do you know that there is a movement in Central at the moment, brothers and sisters, in which they are having special meetings to try to get back to basics? How can you get back to something that is lost? It is impossible, because the basis, brothers and sisters, the basis of the truth, the knowledge of the kingdom of God, the knowledge of how we ought to act in an ungodly world is lost. You know, in Pilgrim's Progress, a book worth reading, brothers and sisters, because it turns on our spiritual progress, or otherwise the man who turns aside from the way of righteousness into the city of pleasure. When he comes out of that city, when he looks back and when he looks on, there is no city to be seen. He's lost his way. How can they return to basics, brothers and sisters? John Thomas, Robert Roberts' works are despised. A false gospel has grown up among them. They have attached themselves to a present society. It's getting on in this world, and a present religious society that they are seeking after and have found is too late. But we, brethren and sisters, we must have a clear view of these things. Our redemption draweth nigh. Judgments already, I believe, are stalking through the earth. In Japan last week, 5,000 odd people were destroyed in half a minute, in 30 seconds. 5,000 people were destroyed. In Kashmir, there was an avalanche in which 80 died. 1,000 people were stranded on the road. It's like someone had planned it all. The avalanche cut off their retreat and their forward march. It's the worst weather at the moment, brothers and sisters, for 15 years. It's the worst weather in Europe. It's freezing temperatures one moment, rain, sleet, hail and snow. And here was these poor people 7,000 feet up on this road and cut off by this terrible avalanche that is happening. Yes, the judgments upon an ungodly world is already beginning to happen. Brother Thomas points out that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, and that trouble begins before Christ comes. Brothers and sisters, it is time for us to put our house in order, to prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Do not forsake those, brothers and sisters, who are striving to maintain the purity of the truth in their lives. Those who have got like precious faith with you, I don't refer to fellowships, I refer to the true fellowship. You know, there's a passage in Malachi that I'd like to quote for a moment. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and it says, he, verse 14, have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before him, before Yahweh hosts? And now, look at the wrong judgment that came out of this. Now he called the proud happy, they that work wickedness are set up, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared Yahweh, that reverenced his name, spake often one to another. Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that we walked mournfully before him, before Yahweh hosts. And now, look at the wrong judgment that came out of this. Now he called the proud happy, they that work wickedness are set up, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared Yahweh, that reverenced his name, spake often one to another. Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith Yahweh hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. This, of course, refers to the Jews. When Yahweh makes up his jewels, then he, Israel, shall return to righteousness. When the jewels of the saints are made up in immortality, Israel will then consider their ways and begin to be wise. What a time, brothers and sisters. What a time is allowed us in this wonderful book for these kinds of considerations. Look at it once again, a preview. Chapter 12, the deliverance of Israel, the destruction of the forces that come against them, the Judah fire that goes forth, the humbling of Israel, the recognition by Israel that it was their Messiah they destroyed, though not destroyed, killed, and the compassion of Yahweh revealed in Christ and his saints upon them, to open for them in that day a fountain for their uncleanness. The putting away of Israel of all their abominations and idols, the casting down of the false prophets in the land, and the bringing of the third part through the fire. And then in verse 14 again, the description of the terrible force of the Gentiles that comes against Israel. The standing of the Son of Man upon the Mount of Olives in that day. The cleaving of the Mount of Olives in the great earthquake that will destroy the Russian forces. The fleeing away of the Jews in terror from such a day. The establishing of the Christ throne among them. The elevating of Judah. The forgiving, the elevation after the forgiving of Judah. The great battle axe prepared, the going forth of the Jews to conquer the world, the great destruction of the Gogian host to take place, the Israel augmenting the slain, the great plague from Yahweh directly upon them, and then shall Israel go forth and subdue the nations. Then shall the nations, those who are left, be made righteous, and they shall worship Yahweh in that day. And so the closing of the 14th chapter tells us, this shall be the punishment of Egypt, punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness to Yahweh in all the earth, brothers and sisters, and the pots in Yahweh's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto Yahweh hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more a Canaanite in the house of Yahweh host. And all the earth shall be still and at rest, all worshipping Yahweh, a world, brothers and sisters, of righteous people that shall be left. And so we bring to an end our considerations of this great book.